Hello and welcome to The Big Fight. And the question we're going to look at today is whether India is a racist country. Do we display a great amount of racism? And is this in any way different to what we are seeing around the world? Because, by the way, racism and aspects of that are also seeming to be on the rise in many other countries. But here in India, we've just seen that absolutely shocking and completely shameful attack that took place in Bangalore, which really made a lot of us hang our heads in shame. But there are other aspects of it also. We've heard other cases in the recent past where Indians were not allowed to go into certain restaurants or not given preferential access because some Caucasian was allowed to go in first. And that's a bizarre form of extended racism or reverse racism, which is also something that we should be discussing and debating. So where does race and racism figure in India right now? And what is it that we can all do to make sure it is stamped out? That's really the question that we are here to discuss. And let me welcome the panel. We have Vikram Singh, former DGP Uttar Pradesh, a senior member of the Indian police force with us here, right here with us. Ratan Sharda, columnist, thinker, been close to the RSS, so at least, subscribed to their thought process. So it's wonderful to have you with us. Suhas Chakma, who's the director of the Asian Center for Human Rights, has been arguing against racism for a long, long period of time. So it's wonderful to have you with us. Rahul Ishwar is with us as well, activist. Wonderful that you could join us. Samuel Jack, student from Nigeria, wants to discuss some of the experiences that he has had, and others also, some of his friends who are also with us here in the studios, will be hearing that and those cases and seeing what we can do about them. And Professor Mridula Mukherjee, Professor of Modern History, Center for Historical Studies at the JNU, is with us. JNU, of course, in the middle of its own set of issues right now. Shayan INC joining us from Mumbai, and of course, last but by no means least, Suhail Seth also with us here. But why don't I just start off by, quickly going through with all of you the fundamental question of whether we as Indians are racist. By the way, extended question, are all human beings racist, which is another way of looking at it, but Indians in specific.
India is the original God's melting pot. And if there's any country that has magnanimous, it's India. Vasudhaiva cha kutumbakam, the original hallmark of our society, came from the Vedic times. Whatever we see is an aberration, and they are not representative.
It is an aberration and it's not representative. It's not representative. That's your view. Okay. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would say, first of all, let us frame the issues properly. There are two issues. One is color consciousness of Indians. Fair versus black color or whatever. That's one thing which is colonial hangover. Right. Second is racism. Okay. So let us be very careful. When you talk of racism, it is racism. And when you talk of color consciousness, it is not racism.
Okay. Point one. That's a very good point. Let me just amplify that further to make sure I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And you're right, we should separate it. So Indians are color conscious. Oh, yes. So that's, and
it's
that's
a colonial
true.
Hangover.
Yeah. And that happens whether you're African or whether you're European or whether you're Indian, you're color conscious.
Or within family also.
Within a family. Yeah. Right, you're right. So within brother, sister, dark skin, light skin, that issue is there. I think that's a valid point. So that's not racism, that's color consciousness, and we should segregate the two. Okay, point well taken, and we will separate them.
Coming to the main issue, racism, as doctor just pointed out, we have a long history of having people coming to India, welcome to India, whether Syrian Christians, whether Jews, whether Iranian Parsis, they have come, they have got assimilated with us. There are Ahom kings who came from Burma, became thoroughly Indian Hindu, and they ruled Assam for 700 years. Only kings who did not allow British to come into Assam. So we have a long history of assimilation.
You're right. So we have a history of assimilation. The culture is one of assimilation. But are we therefore, if you see some of the incidents that we see, if you say here what people are often being told on the streets of any city, in Bangalore.
That's really bad. That's an aberration.
So are we moving away? Are we moving away from what has been the historic Indian traditional culture is one of the things to ask. Suhas.
No, I think the entire analogy that, we are color conscious, we have learned it from the British, is absolutely wrong. The oldest system of racism is the caste system. And if you look at the history, caste derives from Varna, which literally means actually color. And color is only one of the elements of racism. If you look at the definition given by the UN, it talks about distinction, exclusion, restriction, and preference based on color, race, ethnicity and national origin. So when we talk about...
So the origins of racism or color consciousness in your mind come from the caste system and not from colonialism.
It derives from Banna system, and I think what we are listening
to
today...
Want to respond to that?
No, I mean, let me finish it. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think there is racism all over the world. I mean, I face racial discrimination here, but that is not to say that the Bengalis do not face racial discrimination in our areas. I think what we have done over the years essentially have taken an ostrich-like approach. When we talk about racism, we only believe that only white can do it. We cannot do it. And we remain silent when the Indians were thrown out of Myanmar, Sri Lanka, Uganda, and discrimination which was against the Indian across East Africa immediately after the colonization. But today we commit the same crimes and we still take the same ostrich approach. So I am not saying that, you know, only the Indians are racist. Racism exists in every society, as microscopic as my own community. We have so many pejorative terms against our smallest communities. If I blame the whites or the majority, it's absolutely wrong in today's time.
Okay, fine. There's racism in all parts of it. I'll just come back to that Varna issue.
Vikramji, there are three questions on it. Is it right to stereotype? Is it right to stereotype? And is it right to stereotype? Whenever a terror attack happens, we always stand up to ultra-right-wing and say, don't stereotype one particular community. In the same way, why can't we stand up to the ultra-left to say that, please don't stereotype a nation? That doesn't mean we don't have issues. Yes, we do have issues. And articulating an issue is as important as addressing it. When you articulate it at racism, the stereotyping backfires. It will add oil to the fire.
Why?
Rather than integration...
No, wait, hang on. Why? Because... Actually, you should make people aware of it. It is happening. If it is happening, if even one person is made to feel uncomfortable on the streets of any of our cities because of his race or his ethnicity, it is something that should be highlighted because people need to be made aware that this is wrong.
Very true.
You should not
nobody is saying that. But articulating an issue in the right context and don't glorify aberrations is very important. And along
sure
with
enough,
that,
sure
one,
enough.
One
I
more
agree.
Thing.
Look, you shouldn't label the entire country and say all 1.3 billion people are X because X number of people are doing it. However, you do need to create awareness about
it. We need
to
debate this. We need to discuss this. And regarding the Varna point too, Varna doesn't mean color. Varna, see, all our gods, Krishna is black, Rama is black, the most respected of all gods in India are black. So, of course, there is diversity. There may be color consciousness.
What's the literal meaning of Varna? Tell me.
No,
what's the literal meaning of Varna?
There is a totally different context. There is a totally different context.
What's the context? What's the meaning of it?
Means one school. Brahmacharya is one varna. Varna ashram. And there is varna vyavastha. Varna ashram would also mean brahmacharya.
Right. The problem is there are a lot of words in Sanskrit which cannot be translated easily into English. We fall for the English translation.
Can we digress? There are time and a place to get
into this. That is the basic argument. That's why I'm arguing against it.
Okay. I get it. Let's just come back to that. I don't want to get you in, Samuel, on this. And actually some other members of the audience also. It's an aberration. It doesn't happen very often. It's once in a while. Bangalore, what happened out there, shocking, but it was an isolated example. Has that been your experience, or is it more widespread than we would care to think?
There is a preconceived notions about Africa in this country. And I think the state of India is totally in denial and sometimes in huge contradiction to the fact on the ground. And what I want to say is that, you know, in schools also, I have a younger brother who attends schools, who is going to school in Akeprom and in South Delhi. And there are people, his classmates, they bully at him, they poke him, they use all sort of abusive words on him. They use all sort of words which are, you know, not acceptable. And, you know, for me, I think that, you know, there's a perception, there's a color perception in this country that, you know, people who are coming from Africa are medieval in their thinking, they are ancient, they think all sort of things about Africa, and which to me is totally not true. And the fact is that, you know, through the course of this discussion, if I'm given the opportunity, I'll be able to point factually to the reality on the ground.
Right, so would you like to elaborate?
Yeah, I'd like to elaborate. One aspect is that, you know, in terms of visa, there are students in this country who are genuinely students, who have admission, but when they go to renew their visa, they go through all sorts of scrutiny in this country. And in terms of accommodation also, you see an African asking, like, he wants to rent a house, they say, no, we don't allow blacks in this place, we don't. But meanwhile, they think, okay, it's related to drugs, like black and crime, black and drug, black and addiction.
So, in a
so
sense,
there's this preconceived notion in this country.
Like what he's saying, that's actually... in a sense, a reflection of what many people feel, that there is a sense of of racism which directly Africans face in large parts of the country. But it's not just Africans. I mean, you'll have people from the Northeast who face that in Delhi, and we've done any number of programs and seeing how shocking that is. And it could be extended. You could say that people from mainland India face that thing in the Northeast. South Indians face it from the North. North Indians face it in the South. But I guess some communities, some races perhaps get it worse, like, as you're saying, African students in particular, or Africans in particular.
You know, one is the notion of difference, where we constitute the other, you know, as an opposite of who we are. So we have a sense of our own identity, and then we define that sometimes in terms of the opposite of that identity. And then there can be contempt, there can be hatred, there can be acceptance, there can be various things that happen once you've objectified somebody into that position. But I think I'd like to bring in some more subtleties. I agree with everything that he said. I mean, from the time that I was in campus 40 years ago to now, I would say, yes, there is prevalence even on campuses of racism. You can't call it by any other word.
Has it gone up or gone down?
No. I would say it again depends from campus to campus. Basically, it's a question of educating yourselves, your society, your people. Not right. Denying it, taking it up as a challenge and saying this is wrong. I want to just elaborate. That I want to comment on, many origins of racism have been pointed out by the earlier speakers. I would like to say that while it is true that you can trace some origins back to the caste system, you can say it something to color consciousness, which is not racism, within or to, castes, upper castes look down upon lower castes, but within each caste there are people of darker complexion right. and fairer complexion. But I think our experience as a colonial people, where we were subjected to racism and we internalized it as a society, and to the extent that we haven't fought against it as an ideology and okay. we now transmit it
right.
to now, others, is where I think fundamentally okay. a lot of the problem lies. So okay. the more we have
China,
to...
Shaina, let me get you in on that point. We just heard what Samuel said, you know, and here you're having a situation where India, for example, is reaching out so much to Africa. We've had this wonderful summit out here. All these African heads of state came and we said, you know, India is a great partner to Africa. But as many commentators have been pointing out recently, what many people reading the news in Africa will be seeing, if their citizens and their people are not going to be treated with respect on the streets of India, it's very difficult for them to say that India is a really good partner to have. Now, that's not to say that India is the only place that happens, and I'm going to come back to that. These are global issues. But what can we do about it?
The two points here is that one is we as a society clearly have a complex, because otherwise we wouldn't be advertising want a fair, beautiful bride. That is one aspect which is different, which is a colonial hangover. The more important things is that if we as a society need to understand that if a student can be lynched, finished in the heart of Delhi only because of facial features and belonging to the Northeast, this is a shame to India all across. You talked about Africa, you talked about relationships with country, diplomatic ties is one thing. But if a national is for any reason ostracized, inconvenienced, murdered, mobbed, or assaulted on Indian soil, it is clearly an area of concern
insulted.
And needs
even that's
discussion.
Bad enough.
But not
just
to suggest
insulted,
that this
being
doesn't
treated
happen
disrespectfully
world over.
Is not
it could happen
it
in America, it could happen in the UK, it could happen anywhere.
Right. Sohail, two aspects of it. We said, yes, there's color consciousness. So somebody who's of a darker skin, even of the same race, will be treated slightly differently. That's unfortunate, but slightly different. How is it that we are treating people from a different race? And it's pretty shameful.
We are extremely racist. I mean, let's stop being in denial. I mean, I agree with Mridula saying, oh, you know, our colonial past. Look at the way we treat people from the Northeast. Look at the way we treat people from the south of Vindhyas or the north of Vindhyas. Everyone's tarred with the same brush. Oh, Madrasi. But the problem is we don't respect diversity. We talk about it. Diversity is in our constitution, but it's not in our hearts and minds. We make fun of people. We parody it.
But yes, Sohail, but actually what Vikram was saying, and I think Mr. Sadha was saying is, actually, if you look at what Indian culture historically has been, one of the things that we are supposed to be celebrating the most is diversity.
Yes, but we celebrate it in the corniest possible manner. We celebrate it by making fun of people. I think what happened
making
with the Africans.
Not necessarily bad.
No, no,
you know,
it is.
Sometimes it's a sign of acceptance.
Ask the person who is being tarred with that brush whether he likes it or not.
No, no. Insulting, making fun of, yes. But I mean, there's political correctness. You can't have a joke because that's wrong.
Let me elaborate. Try calling people a chinky and ask the person from the Northeast whether he likes being called chinky and then
offensive.
Tell me whether he thinks it's fun or is it an insult.
Okay.
The problem
is we justify
racism by saying, we were only making fun.
Correct. Some extent, the creation of awareness comes in, and maybe that's where the government does need to play a role. What is acceptable and what is not? Because you're right. Making a comment like that, somebody may think he was being funny or not being funny. You're being insulting, you're being abusive, you're potentially hurting someone's feelings. And you know, it should actually be almost considered illegal.
No, but go back to America.
People don't often know that.
Go back to America. No one uses the N-word today. The N-word is seen... No,
yes.
The N-word is seen to be coming from a mind that is debased.
But the
we
C-word...
Have to shame, we have
I agree,
to shame
the
C-word
minds. Should be treated similarly. Somebody uses a C-word out here, that person should be told...
Absolutely.
It should be...
Self-flagellation seems to be a fixation. Somebody is on an overdose of Gunther Grass, empty eternity of the East. Go to America. Yes, sir. But
no,
the American
police... Can you explain all that again in English?
You are self-flagellating yourself.
And Gunther Grass. I mean, you know, can I tell you one thing? Don't get befuddled by the language that you profess to be excellent in by mistaking the key point that we are making. We are not talking about go back to America.
You are just going bombastic to be...
American police have killed more people in the last 5 years.
But that doesn't justify
killing by the Indian people. What's the logic?
The logic is
so we do that. Perhaps it is endemic to India.
So do we want to do that?
I didn't say it's endemic to India. I said we ourselves are racist.
Comparisons between comparables.
Absolutely.
Please don't use words. Look, I'm quite capable of using language myself. Don't ascribe endemic to me. I said we at times tend to be racist.
We at times
use words which we think are funny,
I was not
but they're not funny.
Anything to anyone,
are we
but
not
if
stereotyping ourselves, calling ourselves we are racist, as if it's some kind of a compliment on ourselves?
No,
and one more, and one very pertinent question.
Making a point at the majority.
One pertinent question. Are we not being selective? When a leader as senior as Mallikarjuna Kharge was on the floor of the assembly, on the floor of the parliament, said that you people, including all of us, are outsiders.
Yeah.
There was no selective, there was no outrage. Basically, let us be honest, intellectually, the outrage industry is basically a cottage industry by the left liberals. So, you know, if it comes from right wingers, they are
telling me, see, if we are to go back to the origin, you know, you and me, we do not look the same. Obviously, in a place where we are majority, will be discriminating against the people. So that's what I said in the beginning. You know, people from Bengal face lots of discrimination in the Northeast. And we face discrimination here. The problem is, if you do not recognize the existence of the problem, you cannot create
Absolutely.
The law. And if you do not create the law, if you do not codify
Absolutely.
it doesn't create any awareness.
Right.
So that's a critical issue.
Right. Recognize the problem.
Is law is not the solution.
But the government of India is breaking the law. There is an amendment of the Criminal Law Amendment Act after the killing of Nidhu Thania. That bill has not been placed. It's a different issue. But the government itself is planning the law.
I am not here to speak about government. I am saying laws are not the solution. People have to be sensitized.
Absolutely.
For example, northern people called everybody Madrasi about 10 years back. With IT, with a lot of people moving north and west, slowly we realize that Madrasis are different, Tamils are different, Telugus are different, Kannada are different. But this education has come through intermingling of people. When people go to Northeast, I realize the so-called Chinks are our own people. When you see Kiran Rijiju on screen, you say, okay, this is our person. So this intermingling and this educating the
now
people.
Now, how does that reflect to somebody coming from outside the country who is fully entitled to be here and study here?
We also need to be educated.
We talk about diversity in this country. And how do you talk about diversity when, first of all, you have created a negative impression by telling somebody you're a Some of them, they use such word. Even in my school. And how will you?
I thought the N-word had been banned.
No. I have to tell you. Not here.
That's why I said law is
not
legal.
How will you? How will you create that atmosphere of diversity when you've already in the first instance you've created a negative impression? How will
Absolutely.
The person who you're talking
to
think about
negative
it?
Impression. When we are discussing racism, we must be aware we are not just talking about difference and not liking or there are two other notions which are very necessary for it to be called racism. One, the feeling of superiority over the other.
It's also there.
And
yeah.
the other is discrimination and
Actually,
contempt.
In India, racism is sometimes practiced in two ways where people from now
yes.
set aside racism to other Indians. if you look at racism from people coming from outside,
right,
it's sometimes two ways. You have a concept of superiority or negative racism,
right,
to people coming from some countries, Africans,
yes,
for example. And then when somebody comes from Europe,
yes,
you say, well, we're going to seat you first, or, you know, feed you first, or allow you into the restaurant and keep Indians out, which is equally obnoxious.
But please give an example of racism.
Can I give an example of media racism? I've seen a number of cases recently.
There were hashtags on Twitter a few years ago that cafe should
be
blocked.
I'll give an example of media racism. How do
media
we cover
racism?
Yeah.
Now, that's a new one.
Just a moment. How do we cover the extremist violence in Nigeria, in Somalia,
yes,
or Kenya, and how do we cover Paris attack? Paris attack comes all over, you start burning candles and whatnot, and you don't even talk about Somalia, don't talk about Nigeria. So why so? Because Africa is that so-called dark continent.
No, we don't accept it.
But that point is, you don't accept it.
I mean, yes and no.
I mean,
Boko Haram attacks,
said,
have been getting a fair amount of complaints.
No, it's not true.
Paris is...
Look back, look at the minutes.
Okay, fine.
See, the point would be, the way ahead is integration. I think we will all agree on it. What are the ways for integration? You know, a kind of instigation playing Africans against Indians is not the way.
Okay.
We accept there are problems, especially coming from South. I know the word racism can open a Pandora's box because race has different connotations in the South.
Right.
It is dangerous.
China, just on the status of the laws that were supposed to come, or the bill that was supposed to come, which was supposed to make a lot of this actually illegal, where are we on that? Because actually just the existence of having some sort of a law which would make it wrong to be calling people certain names, to be behaving in a racist manner, maybe that would get us somewhere.
Stringent laws for racism, where there is a murder, anyway the person is being dealt with for murder.
I think I was seeing somewhere on social media and others, and maybe some prominent government ministers or even the prime minister could have called that lady who was attacked in Bengaluru, stood with her, had a picture, given her a hug and saying, we are sorry. As a nation, we are sorry for what happened to you. It shouldn't have happened. We'll make sure that whoever did it is going to be punished. I think that would have sent a very strong signal to everyone.
But that's not to suggest that all our local leadership, all our BJP workers did not do that. It's what the media picks up and what the media doesn't as well.
I know, but I think
there's no trying to suggest that we are for any kind of atrocity that takes place, and as if we don't take a stand, or we are not proactive, or law and order is not being
enforced.
China,
I'm just saying that I think at the highest levels, I think at the highest levels we should be saying that we do not find this acceptable. Look, I mean, I wasn't there. I'm not even in the government. I'm saying out here. I'm sorry, personally, I'm deeply sorry that we allowed this in the country to happen to you. If all of us take that stance and say we regret this, this is something that is wrong, you know, it will go in actually sensitizing a larger number of people.
No issue. Everybody is ashamed.
You don't agree?
Laws are not the only solution, and they aren't the only solution.
I don't see where this is coming from.
I think, and it sounds disastrous, racism is still a second priority issue in this country. In this country, we look at racism only when there are incidents that occur. It is not either part of what I would call our education process,
absolutely,
nor is it part of our evolutionary process.
Okay.
When both these issues are absent, laws can only do this much and no more. You talk about the word ban. You know, he said the N-word. The N-word is banned. Of course it's banned. So is cocaine. Cocaine is available. So the reality is, don't confuse laws with education and evolution and exposure.
Right. Hang on, China, you were trying to say something. I'm just coming to you in a sec.
Official response has been there. I completely do not agree with any kind of positioning to suggest that our tallest leadership is not with, you know, every case that is brought out, even within the media and within other avenues as well, in terms of crime reports, etc. It's not a contribution which is that only of the government or the party in power. It's of society at large. And
so
I'm glad you're speaking about
so
it.
To that
because
extent,
we
I
have
mean,
people
Samuel,
who
I have
quite
to extent,
silent when it comes to the Northeast issues.
Yeah, so to some extent, the fact that these cases or incidents such as they are, immediately they're getting highlighted, they're making national headlines, and it is being spoken about. Do you see that as a positive sign? Because, you know, it's at least a recognition that this is something which is shocking, terrible. It's been the big one of the big headlines for the last week.
Yeah, I'm extremely happy that, you know, the Indian media has taken this issue up. For a long time, these things have been happening. The incident in Bangalore is not the it's not a new one. It's not the first. It's not the second. These things have been happening. But what I want to say here is that this psyche, this how will I put it? Is it the Indian psyche? I don't know. I don't know where this thing is coming from. But I think They need a civic education on how to live with people of different races and different colors.
Suhas, you wanted to say something?
What I was saying...
I don't think it's an Indian psyche. It's an aberration. Aberrations exist in all geographies. But this is not an aberration we are either in denial about or proud of. We need to mitigate and correct this.
Right.
What I was saying, under the law, number of words are banned. Under the Prevention of Atrocities Act, you cannot say someone, etc. So some of the discrimination, we have already codified it. Mm. The use of the law is law creates its own awareness because people know that there will be somebody who will be taking the recourse of the law. And so it helps the entire process of education because the day one particular act is brought, then people know that this is no longer can be punished.
So can I just come back to what to take off from what he said, that you know, this is what is happening out here, and is it crazy, and is it something which is Indian? And that's something which I want to also turn to, because frankly, if you look at what's happening in all parts of the world, this is not something that you could look, it's whatever is happening is shocking, it's horrible, and it needs to be stamped out. We should set the example for the rest of the world. But this is a problem that may need to be fought now at a global level. If you look at what's happening in the United States, which has been fighting against racism and issues and civil rights for 100 years, especially for the last 50 years.
Trump has got a Sikh gentleman to actually exit. He has spoken in the most derogatory way about Islam and Muslims.
That's what I'm saying. No, look at the profiling that's happening. I mean, okay, here there's a certain profiling that's happening because of the color of your skin. There's profiling which happens. If you're a brown person in various parts of the world walking around, you'll be looked at separately. If you're a person of a particular religion, you most certainly will be.
If you go into the sociological aspects of racism, it occurs on three planes. Rahul touched upon one. It emerges from a sense people get that I'm being economically deprived by this particular person, or the opportunities that should have come my way are going to him, or plain envy, perhaps ignorance. The reality is, when we were growing up in Calcutta, we never ever used words like this. It wasn't part of our lexicon. It had something to do with both our parenting and our education. What has happened today is that often to ridicule someone is seen as something smart. It is not seen as something insulting. Therefore, I say use words like fun and all with great care, because often we think it is trivial,
I get it,
but it's not
so,
trivial.
I'm trying to place racism also in the global context. I mean, again, taking the case of the United States, look at the number of people, the number of black people who are shot if you had a policeman driving up and you had a black person is doing something and a white person is doing something very different.
This is exactly,
you'll never see a white person
N-word
being shot.
Is
exactly the thing we're
banning N-word.
Same, it depends on the name.
It's not so bad as it's made out to be. Our laws are there. It's a different matter that we choose to turn the other way when we do not implement.
Not as bad as it made out to be. I'm not so sure. I think even one case.
Just on this, Vikram, let us at least spare a moment for Shabana Taj, who was killed. You know what provoked this whole incident? It's not a justification. I'm just pointing out. Shabana Taj, a Muslim woman, was killed because of her reckless driving, and people misunderstood.
Hang on.
Let us be
honest.
The
crowd caught hold of a different person because of persons of a.
Absolutely.
They thought the person of the same race.
It was an overreaction, but there was something.
Overreaction.
It was an overreaction.
No. I think we are.
Otherwise, had that accident not happened, would you think this would have happened?
Oh, come on. No, give me a break. Wait a minute. Rahul. Hang on. Tomorrow, if there's an accident somewhere in Delhi, right, and some brown-colored person runs over someone down, everybody in Delhi should be beaten up, burned, stripped.
Nobody is justifying, but I'm just pointing out
the
chain of events which led to the death of a person.
You know, the chain of events argument has been used to justify every riot in this country.
This is the fundamental problem.
That's the real thing that happened.
Totally in denial.
The biggest issue is denial.
Nobody justify this, but I'm pointing out the chain of events.
You are justifying it. The biggest issue is the denial.
Explaining an incident.
The biggest issue is the denial. He's denying.
There are 12,000 students studying there in Bangalore. And
you
my
explain
state,
it to me.
The largest.
You explain it to me. You explain it to me. A lady gets run over, right?
Yeah.
If the mob had caught hold of the person who actually, you know, killed her,
they should not have taken law into their hands.
Caught hold of him and beaten him up.
Absolutely.
I would have said that's shocking,
but it's shocking, but at least it's understandable.
To find some completely different people because they happen to look
Absolutely.
Of the same color.
See, I'm
beat
not
them
justifying.
Up, it's racism.
But this is something that happened.
There was an overreaction. It's the denial.
If you Google your notice.
Let us not try to consciously forget Shabana Taj.
So there
all of the media discussions this point,
all accident and accident victims are shocking, but how is following the case of
this debate has gone beyond what happened in Bangalore. This debate is going
yes,
to
but
the
I mean, seeing as he brought the subject up, I'm saying that you can't justify an act of racism by saying
that debating Bangalore incident. That's already deplorable, bad, and we are talking to the next stage. Even if it had not happened, is there racism?
Yes.
That is the question.
Often in this country, when it comes to an African, the state institution, which I'm talking about the police, they failed to react. I'll just bring to your notice. In 2004, there were three Africans that were beaten to the point of death in Rajeshok metro station. And three police officers were standing there. They didn't do anything. They ran to their booth. They didn't react. They were just looking at them. And these people were beaten. They were stoned with phones. They were stoned with bottles. All sorts of things in this country. And most of the times, I must bring to your notice, the police fail to act. Yeah. They don't even act. They just behave as if they are not there. So how will you in this context say it's not a racial attack when police, which is part of the law, is supposed to be there to implement the law, is not doing anything?
You know, to the list of Suhail's causes of racism, I would like to add that, and that's the historical experience, one major cause of racism is when you want to keep people down, you want to oppress them, then you need to feel they are not human.
Absolutely.
They are not up. That's what traditionally
so
racism is.
Then I want to come to the Africa, audience. I want to get other case
India,
studies from the audience.
That's
so, yeah.
What racism is.
Suhail's been trying to say something.
The policemen, to justify their silence, have to believe that Africans and black people are inferior.
The only thing which I was saying,
not human.
Between 1963...
Sir, this also creates an opportunity of exploitation. Okay. A lot of Africans are exploited in this country.
No, what I was saying this, that between 1963 and 64, 300,000 Indians were thrown out of Burma because it was racism. In East Africa, Indians could not do business. We could not do business outside the capital. The Chinese, we are prohibited doing business and they could not join any services in Malaysia. What I am saying is that it exists in every society. But if you do not accept it, if you continue to deny it, how are you going to address it?
Absolutely.
Right. So my worry is,
racism is bad anyway. But
my worry is denial. Replace denial with acceptance.
Don't be in a state of denial. Okay, let me turn to the audience right now. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Sir, first I want to thank you for being in a state of denial. And it's a Freudian slip, and your subconscious has shown that you are trying to justify it. And it's a form of justification. We're going to take it like a Freudian slip. Second thing to the sir, I want to say that nothing more terrifying here, more than the map, the police elements who are on the streets. They are the bullies. I know at the end of the day, mobs can beat me up. They can throw me in a hospital. I can chicken out. I can run. But the police officers, the constables who are in cars, roaming around, pretending to be enforcing law, especially at night, around 8, 9, those are the biggest bullies.
For every foreigner. And you think they are particularly hostile to Africans?
They are extremely. See, they are a part of the society.
Yeah.
However,
Absolutely.
At the end, they are part of the society.
Absolutely.
And they have not been trained in a certain way which make them distinguish what is right, what is wrong on an international, you know, way of thinking. So whenever they come, they just get down 3-4 people. There was an incident when my friend had no car. I had to drop him. We were 3 on a bike. And the police stopped me. I acknowledge it was a mistake. But the way they got down, the way they opened those doors, and the way they got down in a split second, and they encircle us as if like they were about to beat us up. Because they had the uniform and they find it like we can do what we want to do. And this is, I think, the problem in India. It's not mere racism. It's about regionalism. It's right. Like I
and
see people, I have,
that's what he said.
No African has been with Indians more than the way I have been deep with them for 3 years. And I have seen people who are from Greater Noida, they would say, Dekho ye Bihari, Dekho ye Batamis. Forget about, let alone African cases.
And they say, we don't need to worry about Africans. Yeah.
They say, problems. I mean, we do need to worry about Africans like also, and it shouldn't happen. Okay, the lady,
may I add, this police behavior is same for everybody.
For everyone. Exactly.
Police is equally bully for others
no,
also.
No, it's not same for everyone.
Police, okay.
Police is not.
Police, yeah.
What I see here is we're just moving in circles, because as we came here, our main topic of discussion was the question, is India a racist country? See, we can all go about trying to define what racism is, and it comes in different aspects. We can define it in different ways. But the major question is India actually a racist country? It's a yes or no question. It's about acceptance or denial. If you accept, looking at all these things that have taken place, I myself personally say that, yes, India is a racist country. And at the same time, I would also elaborate, as you're saying, it's a matter of not justifying but explaining. There are people in India, Indians themselves, who are not racist. It's not everybody who is in India who is racist. But we should not deny the problem that there is actually racism in India. As he's saying, the police people who are supposed to be protecting us. I've met so many cases whereby we're driving at roadblocks. We see Indians passing by, even drunken Indians at night. Maybe we're coming from parties, all sorts of kind of places. They would stop you and they'll be like, where's your passport? And I, at one point I was like, I don't have my passport. This is the middle of the night. I'm moving with my ID card. This is what I was given. I was actually under scholarship. I was like, this is my scholarship ID card. This is my college ID card. They were like, no, it's not enough. I said, see, this is at night. I cannot be moving with my passport everywhere I go, especially at night. This is in the late hours. Because if I lose it, the first thing they ask you at the police station is, why were you moving with your passport in the first place?
Absolutely. Look at that. The gentleman there, yeah.
See, well, first of all, I would say hello to the big fight. And then I want to say that everyone is having different ideas as per their countries. I'm from Afghanistan, so I want to explain my four-year experiences here. So I would say that I have been here for the last 4 years, and I haven't faced any reactions from any Indian related to my Afghan race. But I'm not denying that there is no race. Race is everywhere in all over the world. And it, you know, as far as superiority and inferiority is there, so there will be racism. But for me, there was no racism. And if you go to the constitution,
so I think that also amplifies the point that certain countries, certain continents, certain races face it more than others do.
I just want to say one more thing.
Bush, he looks Indian. He looks Indian. Let's not, you know.
I want to say one more thing. If you go to the constitution,
anyway, India is on the bad side. If he had faced, then we would say India is a communist nation.
Sir, I just want to say one more thing. They will not come and say, like in Greater Noida, it happens. They will come straight. They will check your hair, and they will be surprised. Like, Ari meri ma uski bal deko, kahan se aap? So, you know, this kind of...
And they say, can't say up. That could be... That's slightly more polite.
Yeah, and institutions. First of all, Indians are very ignorant of the fact Africa's 53 countries. There could be black sheep who are engaged into illegal stuff. But that doesn't mean all of us, they have to tar us or brush us all with the same brush.
In the same way. Some of us may be black sheep. But yes, don't paint.
I understand Indians, there are...
Fair enough. That's a valid point. No. Okay, gentlemen here.
All of India.
Gentlemen here.
If tomorrow Indians get beaten in Africa, should I call Africans a racist? Okay. That's not the point.
Okay, gentlemen here.
Knowledge is not only intellectual knowledge. Indian society have shown great intellectual knowledge, but they lack something where they have to understand that people are around and they can be different. And that way, I said, most of the Indians are ignorant. Because they're ignorant that there may exist people who is not like me and who is like me.
Vikram, about the police part. I'm sorry that this should have happened to you. It should never. I deplore and condemn the incident. There are deviants in the police department also. But by and large, police officers are very sensitive and they are very respectful to everyone. Sir, let me complete, sir. We have very patiently heard.
Did you just say by and large police officers are very sensitive?
Yes. And I'm heading a university in Great Endeavour where you are studying for the last 5 years. Ma'am, if I may.
No, she said that if they are really so sensitive, why do they hide it so well?
Well, ma'am, there will be a rebuttal after that. Now, after 5 years that I've been in the university,
Which university is this?
This is Noida International University. We have wonderful students from your country. You are my student. Have you ever felt discriminated in your university? We respect all of you. I don't think it's anybody's case that every single Indian is racist.
That's not the point.
We respect yours also.
India is not a racist nation. Some micro minority of Indians may be.
Any sort of generalization is always dangerous. And about a country like India, 1.3 billion people, it's even more dangerous as to what that particular generalization is. So we, with that particular things set aside, one thing which has very clearly come across is we need to pay a lot more attention to questions of racism than we do. But we'll be back after the break with a lot more. Don't go away. Welcome back to The Big Fight. Time now to try and get some sort of a wrap this up and try and come to some conclusion as to where we are at on this entire question of India being a racist country. Obviously, look, no country can be racist and you can't generalize an entire people and saying every Indian is racist. But is there an unacceptable level of racism in the country? And by the way, you could figure out what that unacceptable level is. Some would say even one or two incidents are unacceptable. But is there an unacceptable level of racism in India right now? And is it an important need for us to do something about it? So let me get final thoughts from all of our panelists on that particular theme. Starting with you, Shaina.
I hope that we've learned one thing through our cultural heritage, which is that irrespective of how diverse our country is and how diverse the people living in our country are, I think the social awareness to ostracize people who are racist, to make sure that law takes its course under normal course wherever there is an atrocity, is something that needs to be highlighted and discussed. As far as Parliament is concerned, yes, there are serious issues which need to be discussed when kids from the Northeast are targeted because of their facial features, etc., which is a very serious issue. And in the days to come, we will be on a road to be more accepting than what we already are.
All right, Mridulaji, let me get final thoughts from all of you. Very quickly, we are flat out of time. Quick final words.
Yeah, I think it's really sad that given that we fought a long and hard struggle for freedom, in which one of the big issues was suffering racist discrimination for 200 years. And I think that for a long period of time, we had leadership and we had a large part of the population also that was actually imbued with those ideals. Yeah. But I think we've somewhere lost ourselves along the way. And as a teacher, I can certainly say that our school and college curriculum leaves much to be desired. There's nothing, not even a section, leave alone a chapter, on issues of racism, communalism, and prejudice. And I also want to say, it's no point saying these incidents are few and far in between. Extreme incidents are always rare, but they always reflect a deep mindset, which allows them to happen in a moment of crisis.
A pattern of casual racism, which is in fact as bad as that is. All right, let me get final thoughts from other people. You, sir, next.
India's capacity to take up and accept cultural diversity needs no introduction and needs no seconding. And I would say that, having said that, it is indeed the best and second to none in the world.
All right, Sohail.
I think racism of any kind is unacceptable. There's no such thing as levels of acceptance. Number two, change will only occur when we educate people differently, bring them up in an environment where racism of any kind is seen to be non-kosher. Finally, we are entering the Make in India week. We need to respect diversity of human beings if we want them to come to India and make things here.
Okay, valid point, sir.
Well, everybody is talking about problems. What is the solution? I think Mridulaji has said and what Suhail has said, we need to revamp our education system. We need to imbibe value education. And we have a hoary, if there is a tradition of racial harmony and assimilation in India, let us highlight that. Let us go back to our traditions. More people come here. Let more people. How many people have gone to Northeast? Unless you go there, you can't really recognize them. Unless they come here and they see this is my India, they will not be feeling integrated.
Okay, fine. Suhas.
I come from a smallest community. The entire population of my community in this country is 200,000. But I say that my community is racist towards other communities neighboring it. There are so many words we use, they are pejorative, cannot be justified in law. Therefore, it pains me that the largest society of 1.3 billion people says we do not have racism. That's really hard. And what I say is that, of course, education is important. Education is only one of the elements. At the end of the day, the state has to show that some behavior are not acceptable, and that has why it has to be codified. And it has already been codified in some section. It has to be included the diversity of the people here.
Rahul, before you say a final word, look, let's also face it. Indians and India justifiably get very upset when there are racist attacks on Indians overseas. Yeah. And that's correct, whether it happened in Australia, whether it happens in USA, any place, we get really upset about it. So it is only fair and it is only correct that we should be taking as strong a stance if something like that happens in our country.
And can I point out, is there any other nation in the world whose media will take this case as strong as India's media?
I would like to say that my major problem is with the way that the government has handled this issue. Well, I know that that's a bit of a stretch, but
difference.
At the Indo-Africa summit, the Prime Minister said something about a fraternal brotherhood between India and Africa. So that's a really bold statement, and we would like to see them do something about that. Protectors, have the police be nice to us.
Yeah. All right, so there is a fraternal relationship.
I agree with your point, but by simple contention is this. Yes, we do have problems. India is not a racist nation. Some micro-minority of Indians may be. And our approach should be, we can either see this as half empty or half full. I would like to see this or as half to be filled. Half to
fill
be
up, filled. Fill up the bottle completely.
We accept our
All right, we have flat out of time on the show. Samuel, final word from you on the program.
What I'd like to say is that the police should implement the law and secure and protect Africans here in this country. And secondly, they talk about education, not just any kind of education. They should learn about other cultures like Africa. In Ethiopia, if I may bring to your notice, they learn about India. They learn about Indian history. They learn about Indian Hinduism, in fact, in Ethiopia. So there should be cross, you know, cultural fertilization if India and Africa is to have a great future or a shared future, as they are.
I think that's a very valid point.
Gandhi didn't stood for this.
Okay, the lady hasn't had a chance, so let me give her a chance, and I have to end the
What
program.
Should I do if I witness racism?
Complain to the police. Create awareness. Under Take the health of the media.
Under what law?
The police.
What provision?
I have one question for you. In order to solve the problem, you go to the sole root of the problem. Acceptance. Denial is the first step. Once you are denying, once you deny that there is a problem, there is no way you're going to find a solution.
It is only when you cannot generalize.
Don't generalize. Don't generalize. But I think, as the lady says, accept that there is a problem, because only if you accept the problem,
with the greatest
only
of
if
respect.
You accept that there is a problem, will you try and find a solution.
We have accepted the problem, but at the same time, we understand that it is not every Indian who's indulging in it. Just like every African is not indulging in it.
All right. That's fair enough.
Okay. Now that we are finally reaching some sort of a conclusion, I need acceptance of the fact that I have to end the program, because I'm flat out of time. So thank you all for watching The Big Fight. We'll be back next week.